Is a down ag economy the right time to expand your grain facility? That's what we're talking about in this episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
Welcome to Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve podcast, where real farmers share real insights and real results to help you improve your farming operation. And now, here's your host, Damian Mason.
Hey there, welcome to another fantastic episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve, coming to you live via tape from Commodity Classic 2024. Here we are in Houston, and we're in the booth of Superior Grain. Our buddy Rody Jelleberg is here. I've got Kelly Garrett, Chad Henderson, and Johnny Varel of Extreme Ag. We're asking the question, and they're going to answer it, is a down economy in agriculture a time to consider expanding, building, improving your grain infrastructure? You know, these things take a long time. It's a capital improvement. Also, ag economies, you know, they go up and down. But here we are, 2024, off 40% of our high farmer income of 2022. That's a big number. I'm asking a question. Before I get to you, the expert here, I want to go to these guys. Johnny, you're the Superior Grain guy. We were at your facility in summer of 2023. I climbed up on the dryer. We shot good stuff, talked to our friend Brian Adams and you about all the reasons you've done what you've done. But you did that before heading into this economy. You did it during the good ag economy. What would you do if you were heading into right now and you hadn't built all the stuff you had built? Would you still pull the trigger?
Absolutely. I mean, the reason we're doing it are agronomic-based. So we know what we're gaining by that side of it. We're gaining the premium in the price, early harvest price. So there's multiple reasons to look at it. Just because the price of the futures is down, the bases are going to be up during that early harvest time. We're going to still capitalize on that premium.
Chad, you are doing a grain facility improvement in 2024. I had you and Stuart on and talked to Rody about that. You had no choice. You pulled the trigger on 2023, and now it's taken till now to get it all going. If you knew what was coming in 2024, would you still pull the trigger?
Oh yeah. I'm like Johnny. You know, it's about getting the crop out of the field. And without that, we can't get the crop out of the field. We can't sit in lines. We can't hire enough drivers or trucks. You know, the machines just keep getting bigger. We just keep buying more of them. And we have to get the crop out of the field. So that's the way we can do it. In the storing side, that's a whole new animal, you know.
Kelly, you have, and I'm not being any weem, I mean, it's an observation. For the amount of acres you farm, you have as little of a grain infrastructure as probably anybody on a comparative amount of acres. One might ask, should you expand your grain facility and your grain handling infrastructure? And if so, is a down ag economy a time to do it?
Yeah, our operation has definitely outgrown our facility. We've rented another facility, things like that. We quadrupled the size of the dryer. And I 100% agree that it is the time to do it because it's a multi-year project. If we only do it in the good times, you might not ever pull the trigger because the good times don't always last.
Right.
It's a multi-year process to do this and to continue doing it. And you have to budget it in and kind of have a steady flow, if you will.
Rody, one thing that I think anybody that's been observant enough and worked in agriculture, when the chips are up, you can't hardly get somebody to show up and put drainage tile in. You can't hardly somebody come up and build you a building because everybody's got money and they want to get off their books. I could make the case just on the standpoint of availability of guys like you and the crew to come out and do it. The time to do it is when you get somebody to do it, and it's going to be a heck of a lot easier in a down ag economy than when things are so flush they're trying to spend money.
Absolutely. And we've talked about it before, that mentality of farmers, you know, I don't need it this year. You know, and so we've got actually right now we've had a full slate of people buying stuff, and we still have room in the schedule right now. You know, there's other years where.
Are you trying to sell me? I mean, like right now, are you trying to say, hey, Damien, we can still squeeze you in about mid-July? We can get out there and build you some units.
Okay.
All right, that's what you're doing. Okay, but next week.
Not quite. Maybe down here.
All right. So the reality is, if someone asks you, you're in a sales role, obviously. Man, Rody, I've got the plans. I like your specs. You know what you're doing. You sent your tech people out. I'm not ready because I'm worried about the economy and agriculture. Do you get that?
All the time.
And what do you tell
them? There's that, you know, there is some legitimate concerns with that. But at the same time, time frames are huge right now. Equipment's not bad. But you get into more of the peripheral stuff like electrical. Transformers right now, 45 to 50 some weeks out. So if you have to put in new electrical or if you have to get other you know, MCC cabinets or something like that.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff's a year out.
Yeah.
You're looking at a project for 25.
Although it's probably fair to say that 25 isn't going to be somehow remarkably better ag economy like it was just 2 years ago. So you could almost say, well, I don't want to do this because I think the next 2 years are going to be bad. Next 3 years are going to be bad. Your answer?
You had that crystal ball. How do you know?
Got it. I'm going to go to Chad. You're pulling the trigger on this. You are putting in a new improvements to your grain infrastructure. Do grain bins make you money? Clearly they must, or you wouldn't be doing it.
Oh, yeah, every year. You know, and you're going to have that 1 year. You know, I don't know if you've seen it, Johnny. You know, like what you sell for corn for when we come out of the field, we come out, and then when we put it in the grain bins, and we actually, you know, maybe decline some. Yeah. It happens sometimes. You know, it's a market. It's commodities. It's traded. Stuff happens. But you still, you can't replace the fact that there's more bushels in my bin because of the bins.
Right.
If I didn't have the bins and I had to wait in the truck lines or whatever to get it out or storms, you're leaving it in the field. You can't leave the crop in the field.
The answer I would have, I guess, or maybe, but I've never deployed a couple million dollars of capital toward a grain infrastructure setup, but you have. You're still going to have the bushels.
Yep.
You're still going to have to market those bushels. And you still, if you do it right, can make that grain bin make sense, whether you're in a down ag economy or a good ag economy. That would be my thought. But also, it's easy for me to say, I haven't deployed $2 or $3 million toward the infrastructure. Your thoughts?
Yeah, same thing you're saying. You got to have the projects in place. You got to have the dryer already in place to take advantage of these deals. So Kelly, you know, you made a comment that he didn't have a big enough facility right there. He's, you know, renting some more. I'm in the same situation, but what it allows me to do, I can get a third of my crop out before anybody else really gets started in my area. So I don't have to have the big facilities. I don't have to tie up all that capital because I'm able to utilize that. And we'll flip our bins 2 and 3 times in a season.
Yeah.
And that really helps us be a lot more efficient. Cost per bushel goes way down when you do that. But on top of the cost per bushel going down on the infrastructure, we're making a lot more money because we're picking up that harvest premium.
What's interesting is if anybody pulled into your grain yard, your barnyard, whatever you call it, your facility, they would say, oh, this is undersized for what their acreage is. It's all relative. I mean, whether I've got 100,000 bushel or 200, a million, whatever, you don't have as much grain capacity as you have grain productive ability, but you utilize it more. You're one of those guys that uses your dryer 3, 4, you know, it gets used a lot of cycles. It gets a lot of turns, you know, if it's a restaurant.
And there's times when our dryer run 10, 15, 20 days without shutting off. You know, we'll run for a couple of months, but there'll be stretches where we got enough grain in the wet bin that we'll have a stretch. It will not shut off. It's a factory. And that's just allowing us to take advantage of these opportunities with the market and the harvest time. You know, that's a big deal for all of us, especially when it sets into rain.
I know what's interesting, you said it was running like that, and that's when things were really good. 22, 23, record farm income, you still were running it that way. Is there more pressure on you to run it that way now, or does it stay pretty much the same in terms of the how you run the facility?
It's more pressure now, I think, because that's the easy money to pick up.
Building and expanding, when you and Stuart and I talked about it, you're doing it anyhow, the thing's been in process, you pulled the trigger. Are you a little more scared now? Are you a little more wincy? Are you a little more gun-shy now than you were 6 months ago? Or is it just, nope, the decision's made?
No, the decision's made. And two, you know, you build your first set of bins, okay? Then you get them paid off, and then you build more bins. Well, those bins pay for those bins. And once you get the infrastructure, you get the wheel turning, you get it going. It's just like irrigation systems, you know. You get one to pay for the next one, you know. So you have to look at it like, this investment, I'm not paying for this 150,000 bushel bin that I'm putting up. No, my other 400,000 bushel is paying for my 150,000 bushel bin.
Is this farmer sentiment you've heard before? Those bins paid for these bins?
No, farmers don't usually look at it that way.
That's the first time I've ever heard
you like that? Are you going to use that now when you're talking to potential customers?
Absolutely.
Hey, those bins that are out there right now, they're going to pay for your next ones.
Yeah. Between Stuart and him.
Yeah.
I can start a business with those two guys.
I like it. You know, it's starting to sound a little pyramid scheme-ish. No, really. All you got to do is get more people to sell Amway under you.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think that's still some reasonable thought coming out of this. First off, there's pressure to utilize the facility in a very maximization of capacity manner.
Absolutely.
But also, they're not saying they're afraid of a down ag economy to expand. You?
Yeah.
Your thoughts, you hear this, you think about it, you're in this position every day talking to these guys.
There's a lot of hesitancy. I mean, this mentality from Johnny and Chad is different than what we hear a lot of the time. It's kind of outside the norm. You know, most guys are gun shy spending in that down economy.
Oh, we're a little more forward thinkers here. By the way, what kind of business do you start with, he and Stuart? Would it be kind of a multi-level marketing thing where it's kind of like all you need is
definitely
more people?
Yeah.
Kelly, you've been sitting there, and I know you got thoughts. So your thoughts, hearing him, and now the fact that
there's going to be a lot of reluctance to do big capital deployment, expansion facility, if we think we're going to have a couple-year downturn. I still think that the business has to run, and this is part of making the business run.
The business still has to run. You know I'm the numbers guy. These guys are right, and I believe the perspective that it is looked at is wrong. People want to look at it that I can afford it during $7 corn, but not during $4 corn. That's the wrong number to look at. Look at the value add that the bin provides. And probably, if you know, you still have to write the check, but probably that value add is a lot bigger percentage of your income during $4 corn than $7. And the basis that we can establish, the carry in the market, getting the crop out of the field, the bin is a value add, the dryer is a value add, and that exists in a $4 market and a $7 market, and the value add is more important than the downturn.
You started to go down this road before we even hit record, and I said, you know, save that for the air, because the point I was going to wonder is, you know, when $7 corn, you can let some sense blow in the wind. You can make some mistakes. You can haul it to town and pay a dock fee. You can overpay for. I would think when things are tighter is when you can justify being in control of the crop a little bit more. And to do that means infrastructure.
Am I thinking right? That's right. Just like you're saying, we can't control the weather. Me and Chad don't have a lot of irrigation for the acres we farm. But one thing we can't control is the timeliness of harvest and those premiums, because I want to be the first to market and I want to clean up that easy premium being the first to market, but I also want to be last. So when I put in the bin, I'm fine with sitting on corn to June, July to wait on that premium to get hot again.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I'm not the guy selling in October, November, December. We're the guy selling in August, September, and really not selling again to June, July.
By the way, to explain that, because we talked about this, I think for the listener and the viewer, you're in a market in Western Tennessee where the basis gets really, really favorable for you by right before anybody in Iowa or Indiana or the traditional Corn Belt is harvesting, because the you're close to the Mississippi River and the markets have shrunk up and there's a real big demand.
That's right.
So that's why you can justify grabbing 35% moisture corn as long as you can use it your own dryer to dry.
And also the speed of delivery too. Yeah. I mean, you told me before, me and you, somebody thinks like, hey, they needed 50,000 bushel in 3 days or something like that, you know. So you got to keep that in mind. They'll go to a grower that has a nice facility and a fast facility to get them where they know that the trucks can come in and just do business with you.
Well, I think we should bring up the geographical or location aspect of it. Close to the river and at a part of the country where long before the Corn Belt has corn available, you can be available. And that's where somebody maybe in Minnesota can't justify it as well as you can, because they can't grab a 25-cent positive basis in August. I mean, let's speak to that.
Yeah, so I mean, for us, we're going into feed mills for chickens, dog food, you know, cat food, all these type of feeds down there where we are.
Aren't you allergic to cats?
I'm highly allergic to cats. but up there where Kelly, forget the cats, but up there where Kelly and them are, you got dairies, cattle operations going on.
Ethanol plants.
They're running out of feed the same way. So for us, we're almost 60 miles from any type of delivery point. Sometimes I haul all the way down to where Chad is if the premium's right. And there's been times when the elevator called us and said, hey, we need 50,000 bushel tomorrow. And we wake up at 6 in the morning, and there's been 20 trucks sitting in our driveway. They send the trucks. They want it right now. We can deliver it. So we take a full advantage of those opportunities.
I want to go with Kelly. The person that's listening to this says, wait a minute, I'm listening to this. I like what Extreme Ag guys have to say. You're always thinking, give me business ideas. But it's easier for you to tell me to go out and spend $1 million, $2 million, whatever on new grain facility in a downturn, but you haven't. You are definitely undersized. You're the most undersized of anybody in Extreme Ag in terms of your grain facility. So what has been your reluctance? I think it's because you're going to tell me you haven't needed it because of access to places to go.
We haven't needed, you know, well, we just spent $500,000 on the dryer. The dryer to me was more important than the grain bin.
Okay. Know?
I mean, there's only so much financing or money to go around. And we just put in $500,000 dryer and quadrupled the size of the dryer. Like Johnny, we're turning those bins over 4 or 5 times during harvest and running through there. One of the big bin that we have has a side draw, and there will be times, you know, you'll go to the ethanol plant, you could take wet corn, it's fine. Then all of a sudden they only want dry corn. Well, that dryer allows us to keep harvesting, capture that basis. They'll give a better basis, and they'll just accept dry corn.
And in August, they'll take wet corn, but finally, you're going to be paying 40 cents, 60 cents drying charge, and that goes on a market of $4 corn.
In September, they'll take all the corn you got. All of a sudden, they get full of wet corn, and they want dry corn.
Yeah.
And so we switched to that.
And that's where the facility makes money for you, because now you can't pay 45, 50 cents, whatever, that kind of thing. Here's another thing. If I were in your position,
it's a 30-year investment. This is an infrastructure improvement. This isn't something that you're going to put up and then it's gone in 3 years. Can't you speak to that and say, okay, it's a down economy now, but wouldn't it be nice to have had all this capacity 5 years ago when things were up and you could have made money on it? Is that one of your sales pitches?
That's one thing.
You need Stuart and Chad to help you on sales training, Rody. I mean, really, I'm thinking about this. It is a long-term investment. How do you view it?
Yeah, long-term investment, but I can get really fast returns because we're after these premiums. Kelly doesn't need the grain storage because he's going to flip them bins.
And so, his ethanol plant's right there close.
Yeah.
You know, how far is it from?
10 miles.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it all these factors come into play. Yeah.
Yep. And, I mean, you just got to be able to do what works in your area. For me, my dryer makes me more money than my bins do every year.
Your dryer makes more money than your bins every year. How old is the oldest green bin at Henderson Farms?
Well,
more than 30?
Yeah.
Pushing 30?
Pushing 45.
Pushing 45?
Yeah. Yeah. So. We don't use it as much anymore. You know, obviously it's a small bin, we can't even get it in our structure.
Sure.
The oldest working bin we got is 07.
Okay. So same for me.
Yeah.
2006, we kind of transitioned out of cotton. 2007, we put in our first grain system. Yeah. We've evolved over time, and I mean.
And so the person that's right now asking the question, boy, is a down economy a time for me to put in this grain infrastructure? 06 was pretty good. That's when things started to get good, but it hadn't been up until that, but you still pulled the trigger.
Look at 07. We had an Easter freeze, you remember that?
I lost everything.
I had 1,400 acres of corn, built two 60,000 bushel bins and a 20,000 bushel bin, and we just made we had to go back. We had 1,200 acres. Froze out. We went back and replanted. We had a drought, and then we only made enough corn with the corn we had booked to fill one bin.
Yeah.
So the first two bins, they didn't get anything in them first year. We filled that one bin, but we made $1 on it. We made $1, and I said, just hold on. We make the payment this year.
Yeah.
We coming back.
That's an oldie but a goodie right there. We haven't heard anybody from the South say Easter freeze.
I was just going to say, you know what I don't, what I don't like?
Easter freeze. Where's Gavin?
I'm not very easily shook or rattled. I've been in showbiz enough, but when you started throwing out Easter freeze, I was like, is he being puppeteered? Is there somebody?
Matthews always talks about the Easter freeze. Right?
Yeah. I thought there was a ventriloquism situation going on for a while. All right, get me out of here. What do I need to know? We've asked the question, is a down economy a time to expand your grain infrastructure? Or more importantly, for those people that are afraid to do it, maybe now is the time to consider it. That's why we're asking the question here at Commodity Class of 2024. Your thoughts?
Time frames, availability on peripherals, sometimes equipment. The other thing, too, is we just had a big elevator, local elevator burned down, stuff like that. You lose an elevator, now you lost, that's one marketing opportunity that you lost.
You have learned something from the Henderson-Sanderson connection on how to use fear to sell stuff. Hey, what if that place down the road gets hit by a tornado? Wouldn't it be nice to have your own grain structure?
We had one shut the doors on wheat, and we like never got the wheat out of it, because we had two places to take wheat, then we had to take it to one.
There is some truth to that. When you're very vulnerable,
yeah.
I mean, that's
very
one thing I'm hearing you.
Yeah. It's nice to be self-sufficient. Yeah.
Vulnerability when you got a weather thing. Okay, where else? Get me out of this.
So you tie into that and just always having new opportunities come up. That's a big thing for me. And, you know, you're talking about $7 corn. It'd be a lot easier to really capitalize on that premium, which you capitalize on every year, but on a year it shoots up to $7 and you got the facility in place already. It's always harder to buy the new thing coming out or what's in demand. It's easier to put it in because nothing's getting paid for in a year.
You're a numbers guy always. The person that says, hey, I can handle the down ag economy because that'll turn around. And I'm getting the idea that I'll put, you know, more premium on it. I can capture bases. I'm hearing what Chad's talking about timing. You know, you just got to keep, you know, keeping the improvements, the infrastructure, all that. Interest rates. What if the person says, I don't mind the down ag economy, but the interest rates? What do you tell them?
The last grain bin we put up was 150,000 bushel bin. We put up the overhead drag from a leg. And I think that at that time, that was a $330,000 project. And we went to the FSA and got a loan. And that money is still there. And I think it'd be 3.5%. I would suggest you do that. So
rather than going to your traditional lender, USDA programs on grain storage still exist.
And we always, when we do big projects, we look for any type of grant that's out there. A lot of energy efficiency grants. Me and Rody worked on the one when I put the big dryer in. there's grants out there that pay for a large portion of these as long as they're being more efficient for the
future. Are you able to do that with your new facility, either USDA or a grant or an energy efficiency thing?
We have anything right now available with a BNSF now and some dryers.
Dryers.
Really focused on dryers, being more efficient. With
and you're not changing your dryer, you're just doing a bin?
Not this year.
A new dryer is in the offing?
A new dryer is definitely in the books.
Our dryer project, like I said, was $500,000, and they haven't announced it yet, but we're hoping we get a grant for $220,000, a REAP grant.
That's what I got.
For the energy efficiency.
Yeah, it makes it a no-brainer.
The person that's going to be skeptical or saying, yeah, but I got to jump through hoops and I got to, you know, go through a two-year audit. Is that how easy or how hard?
There is hoops to jump through, but, I mean, it's up to 40% of your cost back. Yeah.
I don't mind jumping through a hoop here and there for $200,000.
Yeah, exactly. There's people out there that work with you, like a coach that'll come in there and tell you what you need. I need all this paperwork filled out by this day. If you get approved, then we'll worry about the rest of the paperwork. So you're really not having to do all of it and you might not get it. You really just got to get the application process done. They'll let you know if you're going to get approved, and they can kind of rank you, and then you go through. It was took us a couple of months, but it really wasn't a couple of months of work. It was just a few days of work here and there.
The grant writer does most of the work.
It's worth every penny.
We have a nice lady named Bonnie who does a great job.
Yeah. That's fantastic information. Anything else on the way out the door here?
No.
Asking the question, is in down ag economy a time to consider grain infrastructure expansion or improvement? You know, you might be afraid to do so. We just heard a lot of really good reasons why maybe you shouldn't be. It's a long-term capital project. You've got really good information from these guys. That's Johnny Varel from Tennessee. That's Chad Henderson from Alabama. That's Kelly Gear from Iowa. And Rudy Jellberg from Superior Grain. If they want to learn more about your equipment, your product, where do they go?
SuperiorBins.com.
SuperiorBins.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in here to another fantastic episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve, coming to you live via tape from Commodity Classic 2024.
That's a wrap for this episode of Cutting the Curve. Make sure to check out extremeag.farm for more great content to help you squeeze more profit out of your farming operation.